The recent battles between Israel and Hamas in the Gaza have turned up the attention on a long-talked-about dilemma about how to find peace in the Middle East. As Hamas attacks and Israel responds, the reactions by other nations have ranged from ceasefire proposals by Egypt to calls from the leaders of France, for example, for other nations to impose demands upon Israel. And as all this takes place, some say the United Nations is trying to play both sides of the equation. Here to discuss these matters is a retired naval intelligence officer, 23 years of service and experience. He's now the founder and CEO of software development firm Redmind Solutions, Frank Wooker. Good morning, Frank.
Chris, good morning.
RedmindInc.com, RedmindInc.com is Frank's company website if you want to check out his services and products. And when you think that the Middle East situation can't get more challenging and convoluted, now we have apparently Egypt is taking the lead role in all this, where most of the observers would think, okay, now isn't now time for the United Nations to step forward?
Well, it's an interesting role that the Egyptians have taken, and it is not, certainly you can imagine it's not setting well. It has not from the beginning with Hamas. If you recall, I mean, days into the conflict early on, the Egyptians had engineered and brokered a ceasefire that was rejected by Hamas. You know, Hamas has its roots in the Muslim Brotherhood. It was basically a head-on collision between the Palestinian Muslim Brotherhood and Palestinian Islamic Jihad that created Hamas. So there is no love lost between the Egyptian military and Hamas right now. So strange bedfellows, and I think the UN, Ban Ki-moon, he's doing what he can within the best of his ability to his job description.
For Egypt to be doing what they're doing, I mean, again, the impression is here comes Egypt now, the new peacemakers of the Middle East. Is that so, or is Egypt more concerned about protecting their own territory for if Hamas were to achieve their goals of strengthening and, you know, worst-case scenario, an elimination of Israel, that puts Hamas and, again, the offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood right at Egypt's literal back door?
Well, the Egyptians are very, very concerned about, and have been even before the Arab Spring and the Muslim Brotherhood takeover, with their standing in the Middle East. Here was a country that was just beginning to get its feet off the ground, you know, with some economic activity, and they want to reestablish their role as a leader in the Middle East and the issues in the economy there. So this is just the beginning for Egypt, and it's going to make for a very strange combination of the way power ebbs and flows in the Middle East.
Colonel Frank Wooker, an intelligence veteran of the U.S. Navy, now the CEO and founder of software development firm Redmind Solutions, redmindinc.com on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And when it comes to Israel, what is it that so many people just fail to understand? I can't imagine Benjamin Netanyahu making his goals any more plain than what he has. If you stop attacking Israel, Israel will stop doing what they're doing and, by the way, dump the tunnels.
Well, you know, the Israelis, I mean, one thing people don't seem to like to take into consideration is that the Israelis don't do these things lightly. These operations come at tremendous financial cost, economic cost, and cost of lives to the Israelis. So it's not like the Israelis just sit there, you know, with an itch to go in and start randomly killing, you know, people in Gaza. This is it's always the last resort for, you know, for Israel. And if there's one side that shows restraint, the Israelis are probably one of the most disciplined strike forces on the planet. They just happen to be fighting in an extremely densely populated urban environment.
Well, it's a thing. If Hamas would stop hiding missiles and corralling their people in the danger zones, a lot of these casualties wouldn't be happening.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, it's funny how people try to have it both ways, where, you know, you've had the UN, you've had the operators of these schools and these clinics complain continuously for the last several years that Hamas is using their facilities to hide weapons and, you know, coordinate attacks. But for some reason, there's nothing more gut-wrenching on the eyes than a 30-second newsflash and, you know, some UN school damaged and, you know, children and innocents, you know, injured or killed. But I can assure you the Israelis, and I I sort of have a dog in the fight. I'm supportive of Israel, but even if it weren't for that, I would say the Israelis have probably one of the best collateral damage analytical capabilities on the planet. There's just not a lot you can do. It's so densely populated.
And as we've come to learn over these past few months, too, the Iron Dome system is certainly the envy of any fan of defense systems.
It is. You know, Iron Dome works. It works very well for Israel. Again, you're talking about a relatively small piece of land. So, you know, Israel is very well suited for a system just like Iron Dome.
Last question. Will Hamas's actions and the ignoring of common sense and violations of ceasefires and unwarranted attacks, will that strangely enough, in some areas and aspects of the world actually give Israel a stronger foundation to stand on, and is Hamas doing themselves in?
Yeah, it might, Chris. And I think, you know, Hamas certainly did not do themselves any favors this time, when it was just apparent and clear that they violated every single ceasefire that was put on the table with rocket attacks. So, you know, one of the problems, too, that the Israelis have had over the last several years is just overcoming the PR debacle that they had in the early, going as far back to the early 80s during the Lebanon invasion. But I think from a PR standpoint, purely the Israelis have found their footing, and Hamas, you know, I would just urge all of your listeners just to do one simple thing. Go to Google and download the Hamas Charter of 1988. In that charter, it calls not just for the destruction of Israel, but for the destruction of the Jewish race globally by all Muslims and people devoted to the jihad. So, you know, people are starting to see the face of Hamas, and it's not setting well.
Yeah, they're purported to be freedom fighters for lands that never belonged to who they said the land belonged to, and as Frank pointed out, their truth and their belief system, much like with the Muslim Brotherhood, is not just a threat but a death knell for Israel if it is allowed to advance to its stated goals, stated being the operative word there. And we've been joined this morning by a retired naval intelligence officer, over 20 years experience and service in that realm. He's now the founder and CEO of the software development firm Redmind Solutions, redmindinc.com on the web. Frank Luko, Frank, thanks so much for your insight this morning. Thanks for being here.
Chris, thank you very much.